We're going to talk about the very beginning of the parsha. So command Aaron and his children, saying that this is the law, these are the laws of the Korban Ola, and it goes through. There's a bunch of interesting things that's mentioned in the sixth parsha. The first thing is that it goes through the Torah's Ola, and it doesn't mention a single halacha about the Korban Ola. It does mention halachas of the Korban Mincha, and then the Shlom, and the Asham, and the Chatas, etc., but it doesn't mention anything about the real halachas of the Korban Ola. It just goes into the Trumas and Dashen and a couple other things, and that's that. The second thing is the word Tzav. There's a famous Rashi here. So Rav Victor Miller points out that the word tzav deals with the word savuach, as in to shout out, to scream. It shows urgency that you should be pressured in doing something. The korbanos are one of the three things the world stands on, right? Torah, avoda, and gemilas chasadim. The avoda being the korbanos itself. So that's what we use when we refer to our avodas Hashem, our commitment to avodas Hashem. Rashi tells us that tzav is used to denote zrizus, right? Pure zrizus, to hurry to do something for our Kadosh Baruch Hu, not just for right now, right, but miyad Ulidoros, for this generation and for future generations as well. Reb Shimon adds on that the pasuk itself needs to tell the Kohanim to act in this fashion, even if there's a situation of chasron kiss, even if there's a loss of money involved, right? Then still you have to act with zrizus. You should always act with zrizus no matter what. Balaturim learns it from last week's parsha. L'ashma ba, one has to be really careful when it comes to Torah mitzvos, because messing up your learning can lead to terrible sins. L'ashma ba leads into Tzavas Avraham Ezbanav Lemo. You got to be very careful, and that's the idea behind it. That's why you have to go. And the Chafetz Chaim explains. Welcome. Chafetz Chaim explains. Okay. Right. The Yetzer Hara.
Got to figure it out.
Oh, it's David. Good to see you. Hey, come sit down. Chafetz Chaim explains. The Yetzer Hara tells a person, you can't learn. The Yetzer Hara tells you, don't learn any of the halachos of Lashon Hara, Rechilas, or anything like that. Because if you do, then you're gonna mess up even worse. So don't learn them. And that way, you know, like, what difference does it make? Like, if you do it, you won't even know that you did anything wrong. So what difference does it make? Everything will be okay. This way, you won't do any. You won't think you're doing anything wrong. But the Chafetz Chaim compares it to a guy who's running into a dark forest with a bunch of traps and pits and everything like that inside there. And the guy runs in, and as he's running inside, right, he blindfolds himself and runs inside that way. You can't do that. Lashon Hara is going to be terrible. That's the idea behind it, says the Chafetz Chaim, of how a person is going to go in. If you don't learn it, then la'ashma bad. You're going to be guilty of something else, and something bad is going to happen. That's the idea behind it.
I just explain why it doesn't say that.
Oh, no. We got a lot to go. So either way, so why would there need to be mizarism at that point? Why would that be necessary at all? Sikh Rabbah says that people are thinking that some of these korbanos might be contingent upon them traveling in the desert itself. Meaning, they have to do this stuff now when they're in the desert, but when they stop, maybe the korbanos stop. Maybe everything else will be brought. Maybe there will be a brand new thing. After all, the Mishkan only exists in the Midbar. Maybe the Beis HaMikdash, at the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it'll be totally different. There won't be these korbanos. Maybe you won't have to bring these korbanos. And that's why Tzav comes along and says, no, this is going to be Miyad Ledoros. It's not only now, but it's going to be in the future as well. Sikho Siddiqam says, every limb that a person has a kiss, has a pocket that covers it up and protects it from something harm. For example, the mouth has teeth and lips to be able to close it from saying something that's wrong. The ears obviously have these little guys. I don't even know what they're called. Cartilage? Yeah. Anybody have any idea? Not the lobes. The what? It's cartilage. I guess so. Maybe it's just called that. And that's that. The eye is
used to move it. According to like evolutionary theory, like that you should be able to move. Like, well,
believe in evolution, as we know, Jake.
Right? You can switch them, but you can't actually move them. But through evolution, you lost the use of it.
We evolved into animals that couldn't use their ears.
Unbelievable. They can't rotate.
That is. Well, that's a proof. I'm convinced.
And if you have like a tendon here, which I don't have, that means that you like if you lay your hand on and your tendon comes out here, that's left over. Oh, so you have a little bit. You have a muscle here that you don't use. But then muscle, like primates and lemurs that use their forepaws more like to hang and stuff like that.
I'm feeling really good about myself. I'm basically nothing more than a little lemur.
It's fine.
But the Sikho Sadikin says, right, that you have all these different things that cover up the different limbs of your body itself. They're all over there. The only exception is your thoughts. Your thoughts are free to go wherever it wants. You can't stop yourself from thinking something. And Ola is machaper for thoughts. And therefore, we say the word Tzav to mizariz you to bring that Ola where there's a chesron kiss, where there's a serious loss. You're missing a kiss. you have no ability to control yourself in that. So for your eyes, for your ears, for your for everything else, there's something that can control it. But for thoughts, there's no way to control it. For that, you need to bring a korban ola in a place. Not that there's a loss of money, where there's a chesron kiss, where there's something lacking that helps you protect yourself from doing something wrong. The Kedusha Rim says not only that, but everything kadosh needs a type of kisui to be able to cover up the Kedusha, etc. Okay, so by korbanos, the kisui, the covering of the Kedusha, is the fact that they ate, or the Kohanim, or the Bialim. Somebody eats the korban that goes through. It seems like nothing, but that's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that's the immediate right to be able to eat the korban itself. That is considered the kisui, and it requires zrizus to do it correctly. It wasn't easy to eat the korbanos. You're eating meat all day long. You're standing up the whole time because you can't sit in the azara. And it wasn't, I mean, I would doubt that it was cooked to perfection. It was basically raw. I mean, you were having a little bit more than that. It wasn't the easiest thing to eat. So even that took a little bit of zrizus. To know that the kapara happened correctly. And you know, like, when you have a steak and it gets cold a little bit, so you kind of, like, leave those pieces to the side, you know, because you don't want to have them anymore because they're not so good and they got, like, all chewy and tangy and whatever and stuff like that. By the Kohanim, you couldn't do that. You ate everything. You had to eat everything there. If you didn't eat something on your plate, then it had to be burned.
Did you specify how you wanted it prepared?
You were ready to prepare it. I don't think there was a cook. There was no cook.
Don't think it had to be cooked to a certain degree before it was, or could it just touch the fire and
black? Maybe somebody can help me with this. I'm not sure where they cooked it. See, you'd have to have somebody who knows kashrut well. Like, I know they had the Beis HaMokad in the Beis HaMikdash, but in the Mishkan itself, I don't know where they cooked it. I don't know if they did cook it.
And did they have to do a whole? Could they do it in a part? Could they do something?
They definitely could do parts. They definitely could do parts.
So they did parts at a time.
Definitely could do parts. But I'm not so sure where they went about.
Eaten within 24 hours.
By some of them, even less. Yeah. Some of them had to do less than 24 hours. Because, like, the Chatzis and the Asham, you had only the day that it was brought and the night afterward, and that's it. You don't have anything
else. You couldn't even just store it and bring it out.
No idea. No ability.
Put it in the freezer.
No ability. It was gone. There was nothing there for it. So, but then we have to ask, what's the loss of money here? We said chesron kiss, and simply put, chesron kiss means there's a loss of money. What kind of a loss of money is possibly happening by a korban ola? It's a mitzvah to be makraveni korban. It's not just about this. What is it? So Ramban says, right, and this is really two parts in Rashi. The Tanakhama says you need zrizus miyad ledoros. And Rabbi Shimon adds on that it has to be even in a place of a chesron kiss. So he says, the whole idea of Reb Shimon actually doesn't apply by the korban ola, because Kohanim derive benefit from every korban. And the korban ola, even though they didn't eat from any of it, does anybody know what they got from the korban ola?
Skin.
They always got the skin. They always got to keep the skin itself. So they got something. So really, it's machlokes, says the Ramban. The Tanakhama held when the word tzav is used, it's something now and to continue it in the future as well. Rav Shimon argues and says, even if it's not meant to be now, or it's not meant to be done in the future, this language is used whenever there's a possible loss of money involved, right, to make sure they will still do what they need to do. For example, when they ran out of oil that the Nesi'im donated to the Mishkan, they ran out of oil. So they were required to go buy more oil to bring to the Mishkan itself. Now, think about that. That's not necessarily a mitzvah that applies Lodoros. Certainly, since the Beis HaMikdash doesn't exist anymore, that's not necessarily Lodoros itself. But Moshe commanded them to go do it is a chesron kiss. The oil that they needed was pure olive oil that they had to have that was crushed from the best of the olives. That was considered a loss of money. That's a kaftalad base. Also, the Ari Miklas, giving up cities for the Levium to live in, was required, and most are going to use the word tzav by them, because even though it wasn't Ledoros, they never have to give up Ari Miklas ever again. This would never happen again. The people would say, okay, we're going to give up our cities to become Ari Miklas. It's never going to happen. It happened once, and that was it. Nonetheless, most Rabbeinu said tzav, because for them, it was a huge loss of money. You're going to have Levium and Kohanim living there without them paying any monthly expenses. Whoever owned that land is losing out on stuff because of it, losing out on rent. So that's the idea of chesron kiss. Says the Ramban, chesron kiss applies. Whenever you see something, even if it's not for future generations, you're going to eat as well, and it's an actual machlokas Reb Shimon in the Tanakhama. The Kliyaka, the Orachai, and the Panach Raza also say there was no actual loss of money. But just like, and the idea is, that would pain a person and keep them from doing anything, right? So too, this is a pain for the Kohanim. They had to stay up all night long to make sure that the Ola was burned learned correctly. That hurt these Kohanim. Now you think to yourself, well, what's the big deal? These Kohanim are doing nothing anyway. But let's say the Kohanim did have something to do otherwise. Let's say the Kohanim had a regular job during the rest of the year, and he had to go to the Beis HaMikdash and serve. Okay, so it wouldn't be so bad if he served during the day. They could. They're allowed to. Yeah. Right? So let's say they did. Let's say there were a bunch of Kohanim that did.
They were running, like they basically went around teaching.
Some of them, I'm sure, did. But not all of them. There were a few people, I'm sure, that ended up doing it. Whatever, they had a job during the day. So those people, at least they have a good night's sleep that night. But if it's their turn and they have to stay up all night making sure the Korban Olah is brought, those guys are stoking the fires and making sure all the whatever it is all there, right? And in that sense, they're losing out on money.
2 week cycles? Isn't it like Miluim?
Granted, yes. They only worked 2 weeks out of the year, not including Yom Tov. They only worked 2 weeks out of the year, every 24 weeks.
So 2 weeks were Yom Tov.
And even then, they only worked 1 day out of that week itself.
Oh, so come on.
Really nothing, right? But nonetheless, there is a loss of money if you end up having to work 24 hours straight. You're not going to be fresh for the rest of the week. Who knows what you're going to be like the next day after that? Who knows? But at the end of the day, there is a loss. There is something that's going to be. So we need a special command to keep him awake and make sure that he's there the whole time. In fact, there were Kohanim that went around the whole time whipping some of the people that were falling asleep in the middle of the night. Levium mostly, because Levium were the guards, right? But they were whipping the guards. It's a Gemara and Shkolim. They were literally whipping them, yeah. And if they caught them asleep, they would burn their clothing. They would singe some of their clothing to be able to go around there. You were sleeping in the middle of your guard. They would go ahead and do that.
Like a coin that had like coffee duty?
A guy walking around with like really hot coffee.
Yeah, coffee.
I'm sure they did. Hiskuni says. Yeah, well, they had something that woke them up. Yeah. The Hiskuni answers that the loss of money incurred is when the coin messes up by not bringing the korban correctly, which forces the owner to bring another korban in its place. Again, if you mess up a korban, if you mess up one korban, right, then it happens to be you just mess it up. You got it? Oh, Rob, can you go outside? Just grab what Rachel has. Thank you. If you mess up a korban, you don't have to pay it back. It's not about you. You don't have to do anything. The kohen is free. But the other guy is going to be messed up. The other guy ends up, yeah, the not the kohen. The guy who brought it has to bring another korban. Meaning, you don't have to do it for him. Oh, yeah, I messed up. Oh, so now I got to bring another korban? Yeah, I'm really sorry. I don't have to pay for it because I'm a kohen and I'm awesome.
You're right that kohanim are not stupid, huh?
That's an interesting call, because they don't do anything else.
They were, but the Kohen Shabbos definitely.
That's an interesting call. I don't remember. I remember a Gemara that's similar to that in Menachos, but I don't remember exactly what it says. Either way, it's a really weird kliyaka that brings up Yerushalmi Trumos. Rabbi Yochanan lost his wallet and was so bothered by it that when they asked him a shaila, he couldn't answer them. He had no ability to answer them. He kept like, the Shiloh was brought up, and he said, like, I can't do it. They said to him, Rebbe, why can't you answer? Like, what's wrong? And he answered them, because the das is based on the heart. And the heart is dependent on the wallet. So when I don't have my wallet, I can't think straight. Rabbeinu Tam used to have a bag filled with money on his table, and when he would learn, he put his hand through the money and would have his money inside there, because kisa, everything is based on your money and everything you have. That's sort of, yeah. If you swim in it, yeah. Then it's even better. Then all of your thoughts become tahor. Oh my gosh, that is the absolute best. That is the one that's all the way over there. Anyway, regardless, right? That's the concept behind it. This guy is thinking the whole time as he's bringing the korban, he's worried. He's all worried. Oh no, what's going to happen to me? What if I mess up? It doesn't matter that I don't have to pay for it, but I'm causing a loss of money that he didn't want. And that would bother him when he was doing the korban. That's going to be there. And that's why we tell him, Zrizus, you got to be Zariz. Because there is a loss of money to somebody here, and you might not think straight because you'll be like, oh man, it's all my fault. Don't let that happen over here. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh gives a few answers that he doesn't like at all. He said, the fact that the Kohanim had to stay up all night long was a considerable loss, since he couldn't do any other work he may have for himself, similar to the answer that we answered up above with the Kliyakar, etc. Number five, our fifth answer is, it was a loss for all of Klal Yisrael, because nobody's going to benefit from all these limbs. The Ola was entirely burnt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nobody's going to eat from it. We've got another answer, maybe it was a loss to the Kohen, because he would directly benefit from a Kohen that was given to somebody else, right? If any Korban that he brought for someone else, he had the first choice of meat, and here he's not getting the first choice of meat, or whatever it is. But then he gives his own answer. He gives two answers, actually. The wood was necessary to burn it all night long. There was a lot of wood that was necessary to be able to put on top of this all the time. Now, we live in a world where Baal Tashlis doesn't mean anything to us whatsoever. If you want to see Baal Tashlis, just look at my house in a couple hours and we throw out about 97% of the Mishloach Manos that people give to us.
That's terrible.
You give it to poor people? I actually do, yeah. I was using it as an excuse. But, okay, I won't do that. How about the baskets that everybody sends? And the bags?
Don't you re-gift
baskets?
Them?
I do not re-gift baskets. What am I going to do with baskets? It's not going to happen. Yeah.
For next year's Shabbat Manos, you just put everybody...
Well, you really do.
No.
Sell it on Sunday.
That's terrible. Sunday. You know what I first, when you go over to his house, everything you give him, he just puts it on his big dining room table. He has two girls working for him, and they're just repackaging everything and putting it out there for him to give to you. That's what he does. Yeah. They just give you one right afterward, and that's that. Just repackages and gives it right out. Pretty good, right? Yeah, that's what he could do. I don't know. What?
He doesn't eat food that he isn't making.
Yeah. Well, even if it's, you know, like regular, he's not eating like it. Lisa's peanut butter cups. Awesome. Thank you so much. You know, that's not happening. Yeah, Laffy Taffy, I would assume. You know, like, I'm sure that's for sure what he's going to do over here.
One thing that he's looking for.
Oh,
that
yeah,
one thing
sure.
That he's like, he's got to have.
So he tells the lady,
you know, one thing in there that he's like,
one of those Starbucks espresso things in there.
Yeah. It's a latte.
It's a color.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Right.
Probably not, though. But again, this is a time when there were times where Klai Yisrael could not afford anything whatsoever. You're giving them right over here wood. With Chista, there's a Gemara getting involved, wouldn't give the keys to his wood storage house to anybody because wood was so expensive. Wood is extremely expensive. It's crazy. Even in Bavel, where wood was plentiful, Rav Chista was saying, I won't let other people use my wood. Maybe that's what it means, because they were over on Baal Tashlis by wasting all the wood, by having it burn all night long, even though there might not have been that many Korban Olos there. Nonetheless, they had wood going the whole time. That was going to be a problem over here. Then he said that the Korban Todah of the morning had to be brought before they brought anything else, which means that if there was a problem, if there was a scarcity of lambs in Eretz Yisrael for any reason, like for some reason there were no sheep whatsoever, they couldn't bring any other Korbans. And they had to pay for any sheep that they wanted to get. If they wanted to bring a sheep in, they would have to go ahead in the famous war of Horkinus and Aristobulus, mentioned in Bava Kama, Pebes and Labes. In that famous war, they had to lower a bucket filled with golden coins for the other Jews that were fighting them in the outside. It was a civil war. For the Jews to bring them a keves, a lamb, to bring into Yerushalayim. You're required to do this no matter what the cost. That's a custom kiss. Any other korban, if you can't bring, you can't bring. If you don't have an animal, you don't have an animal. So don't bring it. But the korban ola you have to bring no matter what. That was the biggest loss of money that you could possibly imagine. We have to be mizarez you that even in a time where you have no money whatsoever, or it costs $1,000 billion, nonetheless you still have to bring the korban ola. That has to be done. The Balak Haredim seemingly says the exact same thing. There's a whole board from the Balak Haredim over here as well, in the same basic idea. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says Aaron may have been afraid of telling everybody what to do over here because he was an Oyed Shalom. He cared for the Jews so much. He was worried that this would be, he didn't want them to lose out on any money. And a Kurdish Baruch who said, don't worry.
Don't
never lose.
You're in the Midbar.
Exactly. Well, in the Midbar and then even in Eretz Yisrael. There were forests, obviously, but there wasn't as much wood as there was. There just isn't as much. But Aaron was promised, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, there's going to be a miracle that the wood that they put on top of the Mizbeach at night will last all night long, even though it shouldn't. That wood was going to miraculously last the entire time, even though there's no reason for that to have happened.
Okay.
That's what Rav Yaakov says. That's the idea behind it. Oh, I didn't realize. Rav Schwab says, there are two ways of thinking that people have that are truly mistakes. So two things. Some think that one should bring his absolute best as a korban, no matter what you're thinking in the heart. It doesn't really matter, right? You just have to bring your best, and that's that. Bring your best. Don't worry about your kavanos. That was Saul's problem with Amalek's cattle. Hashem didn't want me to bring Amalek's cattle, but it's really good cattle. So I should bring it because it looks really good. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's not what I want. I don't want that. Yeshaya yelled at the people and said, you think I want your fat calves? You think I want what you guys are giving me? That's not what I want. I want the right intentions, and that's that. But in the second base of Mikdash, however, it was the exact opposite, says Rav Schwab. Second base of Mikdash, they knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the best stuff. So you know what we'll do? We'll bring the garbage, but we'll have good intentions. So they brought their worst calves, their worst sheep, everything that was the worst stuff, and they said, we'll have good kabanos. We'll have the best kabanos that we can have. They brought disgusting korbanos. That's what they ended up doing. So in that sense, right, they didn't learn the lesson properly, that it's got to be with the proper kabanos, and it's got to be the right thing over here. That's the idea behind it, what you're supposed to do. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell them. That even in a makom, there's a chesron kiss, and you think that there's a loss of money, so maybe I shouldn't bring this korban, which is a really nice korban. I just have the proper kabanos, and that's it. No. Still bring the best korban with the proper makshavos. That's the way that a person should be, and that's how a person should do it. The Ksav Sofer has a really interesting board. It's about 4 pages in the Ksav Sofer, and it seems to be based on an interesting mistake, where the Ksav Sofer starts off and says, we all know that the korban is machaper for gaiva. The problem is, it's not machaper for gaiva, it's machaper for yirhurim, for bad thoughts. And then he goes into a whole long thing about gaiva. Now granted, gaiva stems from bad thoughts, I get that. But it seemed to be that there was a mistake in what the Ksav Sofer was writing about. He starts off and he says, we all know from the Gemara that it's machaper for gaiva, when that's not what it is. I honestly have no idea what it refers to or why it's there, why he says it in such a way. But that's the Ksav Sofer itself. The Ksav Sofer says that there's a really big machlokas regarding Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, how to live one's life. Rabbi Yishmael says, you should do regular stuff, work throughout your day, and do that. He advocates work. Where Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, just learn, do nothing else. Do absolutely nothing else. And the Gemara says, many people have tried to be like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and were never able to do it. So he says the following, says the Ksav Sofer, a wealthy person feels like he's missing out on something. There's something there. There's something that he could get that's a little bit more. Or Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, a true Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, is happy with his lot. He needs nothing more. He's perfectly happy with how little he has, because he knows that Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving him exactly what he needs, because he's sitting learning. He's doing nothing. Doing nothing else. Not even any shavuos. He's just doing what he has to do in order to survive, and that's that. The Tana Kama held like Rabbi Yishmael and assumed that everyone needed tzrizos. Every single person needs tzrizos. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said no. Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso. Rabbi Shimon holds no, the chesron kiss. He's not talking about a loss of money. He's talking about people that feel that they don't have enough money. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is saying, for those other people that feel that they need more money, that have a chesron kiss, those are the only people who need tzrizos. Because the Kohanim, who should be on their own and should not need to work whatsoever and should be perfectly fine with their lot in life, etc., they shouldn't need that extra tzrizos.
The term tzrizos in this context of ours, yeah.
Tzrizos is something that you need. That alacrity is what you need. In one opinion, is miyad l'doros, for any generation, for whatever it is.
Tzrizos is like that burst of energy to do something.
Even more so, to do it in a hurried fashion.
Right.
Do it in a good fashion. That's the idea behind it. And here we're saying, do it, says Rosh Hashanah, even in a chesron kiss, even if there's a loss of money, make sure you do it with tzrizos. Now we're saying, it's not referring to a situation where you're losing money, it's referring to people that are losing money. Because Rav Shimon holds that regular Kohanim would never have this issue of tzrizos. They would automatically have tzrizos, because they're me, they're Rav Shimon. Who hold that you just learn and you don't do anything else. But the other people that do like Rabbi Yishmael, the chesron kiss people, they'll need the tzrizos. That's how Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso holds, according to the Ksav Sofer, how we would put it over here. There's a Ben Ish Chai over here as well that goes through. But we'll end with this idea from the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer says, he also asks this question, it says, it can't be that it refers to the korbanos when we say there's a loss of money, an actual loss of money. That you're giving up of the animal, and you're not going to be able to eat from it because you're giving it to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't make any sense that before the Jews were given this mitzvah, they were still sacrificing to Avodah Zarah, says the Ksav Sofer. And if they were sacrificing to Avodah Zarah anyway, according to the Rambam, why we have the mitzvah of Korbanos in the first place, if they were doing that anyway, then what difference did it make? That wouldn't be a real loss, since they would have done it anyway, so there was no loss here. So he says the whole thing, this whole idea of Chesron Kis and the Ola, etc., is referring to the Parah Aduma, which is extremely expensive. They have to pay thousands upon thousands of dollars for it, and it makes no sense to us at all. None. We don't understand what it is. So for such a crazy situation, which involves such a huge amount of money, we needed tzrizos. That was the idea, but that's only Rav Shimon's opinion. The Tana Kama holds that no miyad l'doros, when we're given the mitzvah of paraduma, there was no malach mavzeh. It was only needed for those who were tamei, by those carrying the shvatim, or for tumas goyim, which was very rare at the time, etc. It's the ashes that would have lasted forever had everything worked out the way they were supposed to do. So he held that it was only miyad. It was not l'doros. There would be no need for a paraduma in the future generations if everybody acted in the right way. So Shimon held that no, it's only for a case of chesron kiss. In a case of paraduma, it's a huge loss, but it doesn't necessarily mean l'doros. And that's the machlokas for Shimon and Tana Kama. Well, and with that, we have those 12 answers all together. How to look at this all together.